Now we ask Brother Frank. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. Actually, I wanted that Brother Rus says also a few words. And also, all the brothers who are here, they should actually say something. We, of course, are having ministering brothers here whose hearts are full. The word of the Lord has, of course, reached every nation, and everywhere are brothers who carry it on. I think on our brothers in Romania, in Austria, in Switzerland, yes, in all the countries, in Portugal, in South America, all over the world are brothers who carry the true word, who remain in the word, who do not go beyond the testimony of the scripture. Also for this, we are very, very grateful. Then we have today this special visit. Our brother Bishop Hempel is here. Then we have all our brothers here, our friends, the family Ellis from Edmonton, Canada, our friends from Brazil, from Portugal, all the friends from Romania, from the Czech Republic, from Poland, from Slovakia. Just we are so thankful that we can be here, hearing the word of the Lord with a sincere heart, receiving it. Perhaps this day we have to say a few words to all of you. For me, it's a special day. Today, 44 years ago, Luisen Street, 160, on the second floor, right before the rising of the sun, it happened when the Lord spoke with his all-penetrating voice and he said, "My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word." As hit by lightning, I fell to the left side and I was lying on the carpet. No one can recall the force of the voice of the Lord, the absolute. It goes through all your bones. Then also today is the 2nd of April. On Sunday, the 2nd of April of the year 30, our Lord, it's of course called Palm Sunday, our Lord according to Zechariah 9, verse 9, according to Matthew 21, he was riding to Jerusalem, and all the people were shouting, Hosanna. And he who reads it up in Luke chapter 19, he will see that our Lord was very sad. And then he went up unto the Mount of Olives, and he was looking over Jerusalem, and he was weeping. The Hosanna was sounding forth, and yet the Lord had to say, you have missed the day of your visitation. Brothers and sisters, one can quote Bible verses, one can sing it. This is not enough. We must get the promises for this time revealed by God and have a direct part in that what God is doing. In the office, I have found this text here. Dear Brother Frank, now 44 years have come and gone since you have been entrusted with this enormous task. In the course of time, it most certainly did not get easier. Just the opposite. The burden becomes even more heavy. No one of us can take it from you. Or can make it easier for you. We can just stand behind you, remembering you, and just be here for you. The Lord bless you and strengthen you and help you. We are just so thankful to God. We are all unworthy. Only one is worthy to receive the praise and the honor. Peter said, Lord, go from me. I am an unworthy man. Who is the man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you visit him? Everything is grace. Everything is faithfulness. And we are just so thankful that God did not pass us by. That God has spoken to us through His Word. That He has given us the access by revelation to really appear before Him in the Holy of Holies. Where not men are saying something anymore and are telling their opinions, but where God speaks to us through His Word. And then no one needs to teach the other one anymore, but all shall be taught by God. In connection with this, I have now a very big request. At this place, we do not make any rules. We say to no one what he shall do or what he shall not do. But this wish we do have, that at this place, not unnecessary literature is distributed here, that much is going on the earth, this we all know. But I don't think that we are here to read and to concentrate on what men are saying, but that we are coming here to hear God's Word. And about this, one does not discuss anymore. God's Word is clear for all to whom it is revealed. A man writes here even, since 49 years I am Christ. And step by step it goes to perfection by certain knowledge. Since 49 years I am Christ. Much is going on. And where there are international meetings, of course, many people are coming together. And some are then even under the influence of the various doctrines and denominations. But here, we all want to look into one direction, focusing onto the goal. I have also the request that we keep private things for ourselves. For what is a discussion about a TV? Just leave all the people in peace. Whoever has still time to watch TV, let him do it. One, of course, shall not force his opinion to the other one. Where is then the personal liberty? I remember Brother Branham, who said, "Into my house does not come a TV. It would be in danger that I take my shotgun and blow it out of the window." Something like that he has put it. And then comes Brother Frank. This was Jeffersonville now. Then comes Brother Frank to Tucson and is being honored and may stay in the house of Brother Branham during my stay there. And behold, Brother Frank may sleep in the bed in which Brother Branham was sleeping. And he may sit in the chair in which Brother Branham was sitting. And then he sees a TV. But this was the house of Sister Larson, who made it available to Brother Branham until the time he could move into his own house. I'm not a judge about this. I have just one request. If you yourself hear the word that it did not touch yet your hearts, and that you cannot speak yet about the precious word, but instead are thinking about some unnecessary things, then leave others in peace. They want to go blessed from here. Everyone shall be sure of his opinion in these natural things. One could say many things. I think here, for example, also on the fight of the cultures. I just want to mention one, just one. I brought with me the Quran. And one has to imagine, here in the Quran, it's written. I read it. I give you the page. And also the precise text in reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's written in Surah 4, verse 157. And they said, we killed Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, God's messenger. They did not kill him. They did not crucify him. But it appeared unto them a similar looking person. And if one then throws such a Quran to the side, then we did not want to hurt anyone. Then we just wanted to agree with God. Just imagine. People are bypassing what God has given to mankind. redemption, grace, salvation were given, and they bypassed it and are claiming the Lord was not crucified, for he did not die. For us, this is the kernel, all of the Holy Scripture testifies of it, that our Lord came to us, that he died for us, that he has reconciled us with God and has taken us out from death into life. Now the question, do we still have the right to say that God and the Bible is right? Or shall one agree with the cultures and with the various religions? Only God is right. Only that what is confirmed will also remain. Everything else is not worth anything. And people are being misled by the billions led around God and are going deceived into eternity. The question is just, for how long can we still speak about this? Because he who reads the news, especially from the Vatican, he of course sees how the cultures are coming together and how no discussions are going on anymore about points which are seen and taught differently, but it's just about the unity of the cultures, of the religions. This is on the agenda. For us is on the agenda the calling out and the completion of the bride church. But are you astonished that the Pope speaks of the capstone? He speaks of how the Master was dealing with his disciples. If one takes this news to heart, then one sees how much similarity is here, how Bible verses are used or misused to justify one's own doings. We don't want to go into detail here. We just want to leave it to God. But one thing must remain forever. We did not hear the words of men, but the word of God. And we don't believe interpretations, but the forever remaining word of God. And in this word, the plan of salvation of our God was written down from the beginning up to the end. Now just the two remarks here. A discussion was also made whether Jerusalem is not Babylon and whether the Antichrist is not a Jew. And this is then really going too far. Really, this is going too far. Firstly, the Antichrist is the lawless one. The lawless one. And as we said many times, one must find the key word to be able to open the door. The people of Israel is the people of the law, and the lawless one must necessarily, already from the word which describes him, he must be a non-Jew, namely a lawless one, a man who has nothing in common with the law. And if one then goes to the prophet Daniel, then he will even change the law, and so forth. Also about this, we will not say much. In any case, Babylon is Babylon, and Jerusalem is Jerusalem. And the people of Israel are the chosen people of God in the natural, as the church from all peoples and tongues is the chosen bride church. So we have both, the people of Israel as chosen from God. God started with Israel and God will end with Israel. You can read it in Romans chapter 11 and other places. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then God will reveal himself to Israel. And if we then read Revelation 14, verse 1, then we see the 144,000 who, after the ministry of the two witnesses from Revelation 11, where from every tribe 12,000 are called out and are sealed, we see them then on Mount Zion. And when the Holy Scripture repeatedly speaks of that Babylon is the great city which rules over the kings of the earth, and three times it's written in Revelation 18, in one single hour you have been destroyed. Jerusalem will not be destroyed. Jerusalem will be built up. The Temple Mount remains the Temple Mount. And the temple, the third temple, will be rebuilt. It will stand on that place where the first and the second temple were standing. And for this, we are just thankful to God. One can ask oneself, who are the people who dare to say something in the spiritual realm, to say something which is not in agreement with God and His Word at all? We are thanking God that we have reverence for His Word in us, and that we respect every decision He made. And just thanking God. One more thought concerning the mixing. I just have to say it. He who reads Genesis 6, he of course has to understand what consequences the mixing had in the days of Noah. And when the Lord says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be again. So, there will be a mixing, but there will be also a coming out, a going in into the ark, to not go into perdition. Mixing leads to perdition. And if God can call us out and lead us out and can reveal Himself to us, then please, not again a mixing by interpretations, but instead being sanctified in the Word of Truth. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. We ourselves can only contribute by believing, not by works, only by believing, by making us available to God, believing whatever He says in His Word, and to respect it. Then He can penetrate us with His holiness, making us true in His sight. For the bride must be a word bride, as the bridegroom was the Word made flesh. And as Brother Schmidt was reading in Psalm 25, I just want to read again verse 3. Brother Schmidt was reading verse 4, Psalm 25, verse 3. No, no one that waits on thee will be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which leave thee without cause. And then show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Last night, we experienced something wonderful. People came to the front and testified that they believed all their lives, but that they did not have an assurance of faith, and they received it from God. It is just so nice that God's word does not return void, but that it accomplishes for what it was sent for. We could go into various things which are taking place now. We could touch upon them. But the precious time we want to use, you of course all know that in the circular letters we have the ambition to show forth a few things. And with God's help, this shall continue like this until the Lord comes. That we just pass on the divine information, bringing Old and New Testament unto one common denominator, to by this informing the people, showing forth the plan of salvation of our God. If we read Ephesians chapter 3, then we have an introduction into that what God has given to the church, what He has ordained for her. And I hope that we noted down the scriptures already. And before we go into the word, I would like to extend my blessings to our brother Prince Hempel. He has to be driven to the airport at 11:45, and therefore at the end of the service we will have no opportunity to say goodbye to him. This we want to do now.
God bless you and be with you.
In Ephesians chapter 3, we read in verse 2. Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. It is just like this, that God has set various ministries into the church. And we are coming to the point, what good would it have been that God sends a prophet if in the church would not be the ministries which can teach whatever God revealed, and thus feeding the church with the living revealed word? How often shall we say it? What God reveals to one of his servants is meant for all servants of God, so that whatever God has given, that they can pass it on. That's how it was with the ministry of Paul. That's how it was with all the servants of God. Paul could say, what I received from the Lord, this I declared unto you. And then he writes to Timothy that he shall keep the pure doctrine. The divine doctrine must be kept unadulterated, pure and holy. Here Paul writes of the mystery which by revelation was made known to him. Everything what comes from God comes by revelation. There's no other possibility to receive the things given by God except it is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God leads into all truth. He shall receive of mine and declare it to you. He will lead you into all the truth. And therefore, it is not enough to say, I believe the message of the prophet. This is not enough at all. If we received the revelation from God, then it's no more the message of a prophet, but the divine message of salvation, which includes everything, every promise which God gave us in His Word. Maybe this remark fits here. It is absolutely necessary that we go in all things back to the Holy Scripture. Really, in everything. And always asking the same question. As Paul wrote to the Romans, what does the Scripture say? And if someone would come and would say, yeah, but the prophet has said it so and so. To such a man should be pointed to the door, because it is written, whoever does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him, do not let him enter your house. One may not use the one against the other, but one must look for and find the divine harmony. Brother Branham never intended to say something which God didn't say already in His Word. No. He was, of course, ordained to reveal the mysteries which were hidden in the Word. This is, of course, the task of a prophet. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. And to him, as the first one, the revelation is given. And therefore it is written in Ephesians 2, verse 20, that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. He the first, and He the last. And we must, in all things, we must go back to the Word. And if then one wants to say, huh, but the word is not understood by anyone, only one understood the word, then this is not 100% correct like this. I just said it now. What was revealed to one of the servants of God is for all servants of God and is for the whole church. You can read it 7 times in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. The message came to the angel of the church, but he delivered the message to the church because it is addressed to the church. The man of God is, of course, just the mouthpiece, the mouth of God, through which the Lord speaks at that moment. And therefore it is written time and again, as a summary, it's written, at the end, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. There we have the point. Not he who has an ear, let him hear what the prophet says, or what the angel says, but then it comes already to the second part. Then we are addressed. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And here is the most important point, which is in connection with hearing and believing. Out of this are coming the overcomers. Always both is connected to one another. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And these are those who are hearing what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. And therefore, the deep insight into the mysteries of God. And also this is a point here about which we will still have to write something. A prophet has the right that he can make out of a singular a plural if a scripture applies to his ministry. I just mention now Revelation 10, verse 7. This is really written of the singular, and it's not written the plural, of the mystery, and not only about the mystery, but the mystery of God. If Brother Branham uses this scripture, and uses 100 times the term mysteries, then of course only because he as the last messenger was ordained that through him all the mysteries of the plan of salvation of our God, which were hidden up to then, that they were revealed. But this of course does not annul the meaning and fulfillment of this scripture, but it is confirmed by it. And this, it just must see this way. I don't want to go into detail, but here it is written. Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. This is the connection. Six angels have sounded in chapter 8 and in chapter 9. Four in chapter 8, two in chapter 9. And now comes the interruption. Now comes chapter 10. And with this, the announcement, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, not when the seventh church angel brings his message, but when the seventh trumpet angel sounds his trumpet, then the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. You will have great pain together with me. It's a pity, but I didn't bring with me the book with 300 pages. But there, a brother from Trinidad, he writes of what the seven thunders are and what they are. And then he used 30 pages for Brother Frank. He mentioned me by name more than 100 times. And he then comes to the conclusion, beware of this Antichrist and of this false prophet and of this German demon. It hurts a lot. But this brother was listing quotes of Brother Branham. And then he wrote, the prophet says, and then says, Frank says, the prophet says, Frank says. I would have wished that he once would have also said, the Bible says. This would have been a joy for me. But this thought didn't even come into his mind. The nice thing is that I can bless such people and that I can pray for such people. I just mentioned this. How blind people can be who speak about the prophet and speak about the prophet but not knowing where the God of the prophets actually dwells, who have no idea of a divine call and who have no ministry whatsoever but just cause splits and divisions. Forever we let the word as it is written, in the context in which it was written. And we are thanking God that we can also differentiate between singular and plural. In our time, really, all mysteries of all of the plan of salvation of our God were revealed, starting with the original sin. And this must also be revealed. Of one's own, one doesn't see it. That it speaks about the fruit, that it speaks about beguiling, about the seed, and with pain you shall bear your children, and thy desire shall be to your husband. One must just read it. And one has to soak it in. And as we said many times, nothing is written in one place or in one verse or in one chapter. God scattered everything. He really scattered everything that one needs to search the whole Bible to get a subject illuminated from every side. Never one may only refer to one scripture, because this one can really twist and interpret in every direction under heaven. And this man writes here, he used 2 Corinthians 13, and he said, this is the proof of the Trinity, the proof of the Trinity. And I read you what is written there, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in the last verse. I actually didn't want to go into detail here, but let us read 2 Corinthians 13. Here it's written, last verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. What's wrong with it? It's wonderful. One can just say, hallelujah. Praise God. And he who goes to Revelation 22 as the last verse in the Holy Scripture, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Paul started his letters with the greetings of grace, and mostly he ended them with the greeting in memory of the grace. Must I twist and turn the word? Must I interpret it? Leave every word as it is written. And then we have a clear overall view and an introduction into the Holy Scripture. Let us come back to Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, in the letters to the churches at Ephesus, the apostle really lined out the most deep things of the plan of salvation, from the choosing from before the foundation of the world, from chapter 1, verse 3, namely, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Who can change something on it? Neither high nor low things, neither things present nor things to come. Nothing and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which there is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because to this belongs Romans 8. Romans 8 is actually the crowning of that, what God wants to do with His own, and what He also completes. Romans 8, from verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Just say Amen. Before the foundation of the world, He also did predestinate. We read on, to be conformed to the image of His Son. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we will be like Him. 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses. What should we be worried about? Let us follow the Lord in obedience to His word. Let us walk in His ways. Let us do His will. And let us look joyfully into the future, being assured that He who called us out will purify and sanctify and prepare us unto the day of His glorious return. Then it continues, verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Everything already done by God, a finished, a complete work of God with the church. And this can be seen the best in Ephesians chapter 5. We were mentioning chapter 1, how God chose us from before the foundation of the world, adopting us as sons. We mentioned it. Also, that the mysteries of God and the mystery of Christ were revealed to us. In Ephesians chapter 5, we are coming to a very practical instruction for all of us. And I'm asking you today not to think that someone is meant personally here. I'm just asking you to respect where the church is being placed, which will appear before the Lord without spot and without wrinkle. And this in the midst of the family, in the midst of marriage, in the midst of the relationship husband and wife, children, parents, parents and children. And now, just remain sitting in the midst of this divine manual which was given us onto our way. It's written of the beautiness of the church which the Lord will present himself without spot and without wrinkle. Listen now, Ephesians 5, as a word of God addressed to all of us, to me and to us, who we are gathered here, and all who are hearing the word of God with us, today and in future. Ephesians 5, from verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to one another in the fear of God. This is very general, that the divine order is re-established in the church, that the elders receive a double honor, that no accusation is being accepted against an elder except on two or three witnesses, that just this divine order which the Lord has given to the church, given his church, not a church. Also this we must recognize. The Lord does not build a church. He builds his church. And his church is his body, the fullness of that who fills all in all. And he is the head of the church, of the body. But now, wives and husbands are included, are spoken to. Let us read it. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let me say it. Every wife which has resistance in herself against such a word is an obstacle in itself, and for the husband, and for the family, and for the church. God wants that the divine order is established in the church. And I say once again, the letters, in fact all the word, is not addressed to the 347 Christian denominations, but addressed to the church of the living God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If every sister meets her husband as she would meet the Lord, speaking with him in such a way as she would speak with the Lord, what would then be? What would then be? We are all waiting for the Spirit baptism. We are all waiting for the great and mighty moving of the Spirit. We believe it, and it must and will be manifested. But at first, it must be cleaned up. Obstacles must be taken out of the way. The divine order must return into the church. And then it continues here in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Even as Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is the head of the wife. I know this gives a big problem to some people. Very big problem. But we are speaking here of the divine order in the life, in the practical life of marriage and of family. We all believe that God has an order and that marriage is a divine order. And maybe one shouldn't say it so publicly here, but I want to mention one of the well-known men in Berlin. He was asked, it's written in the Spiegel magazine, he was asked, what do you regret the most? And his answer was that I have not any children, that I do not have any children. And this man has only relationship with men, and he has no relationship with a woman. He just has relationships with men, and he is regretting that he has no children. What shall one say about it? Marriage is a divine ordinance. It is ordained by God. We are not judging such a man. All the world knows him. We are just saying as it is. Only when the divine order is established in the church. In the world, the divine order will never be established. It will become worse and worse. And you can all read it. How many she pastors and she bishops and how the things are taking their course. You can all read it. Let us come now quickly back to our word. Who is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Second part from verse 23. Then, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This is very strong. We admit that. But it must be possible. It must be possible that people who experienced God, who have put off the old man, who have put the old eye into death, and who are not living anymore, but that Christ can live his life in them. What is impossible for men is of course possible with God. And now I would like, if all sisters would say an amen to such a word, the brothers can of course listen. How all sisters are saying an amen. I'm listening. Oh, this was very poor. But it will become better. Now comes the text addressed to the brothers. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Yes. Now you have heard the amen of the brothers. This was convincing. Just the middle row was poor. But it will also get better just now. God gives grace to everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Yes, he loved her, that he gave his life into death. And in verse 26, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And then the connection to the washing of the water by the word. Washing of water by the word. Cleansing her. For what are we coming together here? Why this serious preaching of the Word of God? so that we take a bath in the Word, being washed of everything. It is so. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all sin. But by the Word, we are made aware what is not in the will of God. And we are taking a bath and are then coming out of it as clean. To then, after we took the bath in the Word, to be sanctified in the truth. According to the scripture, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. And only now comes verse 27, that in this way he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the purpose of our Lord in the completion of the bride church, which will be worthy to appear before him without spot and without wrinkle. So here, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and then the Word into which we are immersed to wash off everything what is not in agreement with the Word and the will of God, that is being washed away from us. Now just imagine, right in the next verse, the husbands are again addressed. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. The Lord loves us. Therefore, he has given himself for us. He has given his blood and life for the church. Divine love was manifested. And then he continues to love us, to wash off everything. Because look here, brothers and sisters, precious friends, we are of course all coming from various denominations, from various countries and churches, and all are bringing traditions with them. But then we can't take them with us until the end. Sometime they must be put off, just like the old man. Ephesians 4. So everything must be washed away. All the traditions which were taken with us, they must be washed off, so that we truly can be a word bride by his grace. So, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And then verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. Look, always the connection, husband, wife, Christ and the church. And then, verse 30, for we are members of his body, flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bones. For this cause, just imagine, now again, Christ and the church, and then again, husband and wife. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And now, listen closely now. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let everyone of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A description how the Lord wants his church, which is made up of many members. And let us say it as it is. We are all, of course, in this life, be it single or married, be it with family or not. All believers have somewhere also a place here on this earth. And together we make up the church of the living God. And here we have what God's word says about how in the natural, how the family shall look like. And this continues right in chapter 6 from verse 1 to 4. Let us read it, because it belongs together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Also, this is an important word. It would be nice if all who still call themselves children, that they would say an amen in their hearts. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Not obedient in the things of this world. Obedient in the Lord, in the spiritual things, in the things concerning the kingdom of God. Be obedient in the Lord. Not when the parents want to send you somewhere, but obedient in the Lord. For this is in the right order. Here the word order is written. This really belongs to the order of the family, which makes the beginning of the church. Marriage, family, and then the whole church. So, we must start from the beginning. We must understand how God sets also the natural life in an order, biblically. Marriage, family, setting it biblically, so that all who submit to this biblical order, that they truly experience their completion by His grace, appearing before the Lord without spot and without wrinkle. Now, chapter 6, verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother. This is addressed to the children. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. With a promise. God did not annul it. Children, honor thy father and mother. And also on this premises here, all children should be around their parents, and the parents should watch over their children. No one should walk around without a shepherd, but just knowing here is no amusement park, but here is the meeting place of the saints who are built upon the most holy ground, that we just know that here we have fellowship with God. Here the Almighty One speaks to us through His Word, and everything what can cause disturbance shall stay far from here. In verse 3, the commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. But then comes also a word to the fathers, also to the fathers a word. In verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Was somebody left out? Maybe the single ones. But them we then wish soon a fellowship, that they don't go scot-free. Not so. Otherwise they could think, I was not spoken to. Yes. So, may God give grace in everything, that we submit ourselves to this order. Fact is that Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 7 that the single one cares about the things of God, and the married one cares how to please his wife. And so he's a bit divided in his heart. So the single ones have no problems. They can serve the Lord. They have no one with whom they can start to quarrel. So they can just freely and nicely serve the Lord, serving him without problems. And all the others, where problems can appear, they are admonished. They get the direction on the way here to by that take everything to heart in the fear of the Lord and to receive the grace and strength from God to act and walk according to the word of God. And from this day on, no brother and no sister will ask any more or say, I wait what the Lord shows me or what the Lord reveals to me. But the Lord has shown, the Lord has revealed. He doesn't need a pious speech anymore. He just needs people who respect his word, who also submit naturally into this divine order. Let us say it in summary here. The climate must be established in the home, which shall be manifested in the church. And therefore, this divine order must be established. And I'm emphasizing it once more. In the midst of the description, how wife, husband, children, how the family shall be, it is embedded the beautiness and the completion of the bride church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this goes back to the beginning. As Eve was taken out from Adam and was brought to him, flesh of his flesh and bone of his flesh, so the side of our Lord was opened on the cross of Calvary, and the blood came out, and the church was redeemed. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Just brought back into our original divine position as sons and daughters of God. He, the Almighty God, give us grace that we not just receive the teaching in general, but also when it was addressed to us personally. He, the Almighty God, may have his way with all of us. Now, one word to all who want to be baptized. It would be nice if you could be here beginning of May. Then most surely the one or the other would be added. And then one could do the baptism. But if it shall be, Brother Schmidt will have no problems to administer the baptism. And all those who want to be baptized, they can be sure that after the cold water, the body is really supplied with blood, and that the cold is gone. Then you are just heated up. I can testify of this. My first baptism in the East, in the former Czechoslovakia, now it's two countries, but it was in December. There was ice and snow in a river, and I baptized 16 brothers at moonlight. At that time, no public baptisms were permitted. He who knows the East, he knows what I'm talking about. But afterward, I really was feeling good. Yes, I was never feeling so hot. So, don't you worry. Everything will be well. Brother Rus will still ask, and then the decision will be made. We are glad that the Lord God speaks to us in such a fatherly way. He's not standing here raising his hand and threatening. He's here and speaks to us as with those whom he ordained to sit with him on his throne. Revelation 3, the last two verses. He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, just as I have overcome and sit on my Father's throne. What a high calling! May God bless us, and may He give us an inner agreement to His Word. And then He gives also the strength to put the Word into practice. To Him, the Almighty God, be all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Let us sing, Just As I Am. This has become our chorus. As we are having our heads bowed, then he who likes to look to the dust from which we were taken, let him do it. And he who can look up to heaven, to glory, where we will go, can do it. Remember, brothers and sisters, in the natural, our Lord, our God said, from the dust you were taken, and to the dust you shall return. If we then think about what was given to us by redemption, not only redemption and forgiveness and reconciliation and new life, but to be eternally with God, sons and daughters of God. What a privilege! What a high calling, chosen from before the foundation of the world. And we may hear His revealed word, also the word of today, concerning us, concerning the natural earthly things, which of course must also be submitted to God. May the Lord give grace. Give grace that no one has a resistance, but that all say to themselves and say to the Lord, give me the strength, give me the grace to obey whatever you require from me. How many want to be remembered in this prayer? Just raise your hands. God answers prayers. How many would like to prepare the way for the Lord? How many want to start with themselves in their homes and say, oh God, help me. I don't want to be an obstacle. I don't want to be an offense. I want to be available for you. The time is serious, and the time of grace is coming to its end, and the return of the Lord is drawing nearer and nearer. Let us believe, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee with all our hearts for Your precious and holy word. We thank Thee that You have spoken to us and that no resistance is here, that all are hearing what You have to say to us. Give us all the grace to obey Your word and to do what You require from us. Thy will be done in our lives, in the church, worldwide. And we thank You especially for Your word, which You revealed, for Your will, which You also revealed. Dear Lord, have Thine own way with all of us. I thank Thee for all the blessings, for every revelation which You have given us by Your grace. Give now the breakthrough in Your presence, so that it is manifested that You are in our midst, that You are saving, healing, delivering, blessing, that we experience a book of Acts with everything as at the beginning, with spirit baptism, water baptism, with the restoration of all things, what You have given at the beginning and what You promised for the end. Have Thine own way with Thy church and bless all over the earth. Blessed and praised be Thou, O Lord, Almighty God, Almighty God. Together we thank Thee, O Lord, that Your word also today does not return void, but it accomplishes for what You have sent it for. And I thank You that we today did not receive Your word as the words of men, but as the word of God. As Paul has written it to the Thessalonians in chapter 2, precious Lord, give reverence into Your church and bless us all from the riches of Your grace. And all say, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
You may be seated.